You can turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. Gospel of John, chapter 11. We're going to read together a familiar story to many. Fairly lengthy, so we'll make it go quickly. Gospel of John, chapter 11. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." And when he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you there, and yet you're going back?" And Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It's when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." And after he said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." And his disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better." And Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. And so then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. And when Mary heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home, and Martha went out to meet Jesus. And Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said, "I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Verse 38, Jesus was once more deeply moved, and he came to the tomb, and it was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. And he said, "Take away the stone." And Martha said, "But Lord," the sister of the dead man said, she says, "by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." And then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked up, and he said, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Father, we come to you, and we're at a place in our series in prayer where we need you to bring some clarity to our lives and answer some questions that we all have from time to time. And so, Lord, I pray that you just help us by your Spirit. We pray, God, that you would work through the weakness, and you would work through even some of the inability to communicate clearly, and that your Spirit would pierce our hearts with your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Probably the most confusing and disturbing verses of this account are these. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Don't you find that disturbing? Have you ever thought about that? I don't understand. You know, if you love them, I could hear Mary and Martha. If you loved him, why did you stay? Why didn't you rush back home? You got the call, Jesus. Your friend was really sick. He was in ICU, and you didn't come right away. You didn't show up right away. You weren't there. I couldn't talk to you. Let me ask you today, have you ever felt as if God was giving you the silent treatment? Anybody? You ever felt like God was giving you the silent treatment? Maybe you were going through a physical illness yourself, and despite your prayers for healing, God didn't intervene. God didn't come through. You're still sick. Or maybe you're seeking God for something, some direction in your life, and you need to make a major decision in your life, and it just seems like he's not answering you. Have you ever been in that place? Yeah, everybody's shaking. Oh, yeah. Most of us have had the experience where we don't sense God is listening to our prayers or that he cares to answer them at all. And our initial response is we become disappointed. We become confused, especially when we have a scriptural promise and God isn't doing what he said in his word. And we get frustrated and confused. When God is silent, there are so many things that take place in our hearts when God is silent. We begin to doubt. Have you been there? We get discouraged. We sometimes feel guilty or afraid that we've done something wrong and that God has deserted us because we've really screwed up. Sometimes we just get angry with God. And we stay that way. We stay angry. And like there's this slow burn that keeps us at arm's length with God. And it's as if we're saying, well, if that's the way he's going to be, I'll show him. I won't pray to him at all. And we have this slow burn in our lives because he's seemingly silent. And it's true that when our prayers are answered, when we receive a blessing, when we receive a miracle, life's good, isn't it? Faith's easy when God answers a prayer. But the toughest part of our faith is figuring out what to do when our prayers are met with silence. That's the toughest part of our faith. What do we do? What do we do when we pray and it seems as if God's not listening or wants to answer us? Well, that's the question that we want to answer today. What do we do when God is silent? And rather than respond with doubt or rather than respond with anger or fear, there is a better way to respond. There are better ways to respond. So I want to share those with you today, some ways in which we can respond when we believe God is being silent. And the first is this. During those times when we're praying and praying and praying and praying and God appears silent, it's really important to ask the right question. And so many times our question is, what's wrong with God? That's usually our first question. What's wrong? What's the matter with God? Jasper says nothing. So it's That's the question that we ask, maybe not verbally, but in our minds. What's wrong with God? But maybe the question should be, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? A better response would be to confront any known sin in our lives. Do we have any unconfessed sin in our lives? Not when God is silent, not what's wrong with you, God, but hey, maybe there's something in me that's unconfessed. You see, unconfessed sin blocks our communication with God. I didn't say it. God's word said it. The prophet Isaiah said it. Isaiah 59 said, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and God, then your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. That's what the Bible says. Let me say that again. It says, your iniquities, your sin have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. And we can't expect to hear from the Lord if we're quenching his spirit by indulging in some attitudes or behaviors that he forbids in the first place. And so until we confess and deal with our sin, we won't be able to hear anything from God other than his conviction. We'll hear his word of conviction. We'll hear his words of conviction in our lives. And so a good prayer to pray, I think, is Psalm 139. David prayed it. He said, search me, O God. You remember this one? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Great prayer to pray when we feel as if God is being silent in our prayer life. And so we got to confront our own sin in our lives. When it's a good response to have. Not every unanswered prayer is a result of sin. There are other ways, reasons for that. But let's just move on, and I'll mention a few of those. The second thing is this. Many Christians limit their relationship with God. They become energized in their prayer lives when there's an urgent need. But when everything's running smoothly, they don't have time for God. And I confess that I've been in that place before. I'm sure that maybe you have been in that place before. Things are going wonderful. Things are going smoothly. And somehow your awareness of God or your intent on pressing into your relationship with God lessens. And so I say that to say this: God wants more out of his relationship with his followers than just receiving lists of requests. Amen? He wants us to enjoy just being with him. And so maybe it could be that God withholds an answer to our prayers because he's trying to get our attention and draw us into a more close and intimate relationship with himself. That he wants us to come to the place where we see it's not just about throwing all of our requests, just writing them down and throwing them at God and say, God, I need you to do this, and I need you to do this, and I need you to do this, and while you're at it, go ahead and do this, and this, and this. Not much of a relationship if that's the extent of it, is it? Which brings me to another reason why the heavens might be silent. God might be using silence to mature us. Do you know immaturity is marked by an unwillingness to wait? Right? When the baby's hungry, right, there's no peace until the baby gets fed. Babies don't have much patience. You don't see patience in babies, do you? They want it. There's a need. It's urgent. I got to have it now. And sadly, that's how some Christians behave with God. The more urgent the need, the more impatient and demanding they become with God. And it smacks of immaturity. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience." We hate that word. Nobody likes to hear a message on patience, right? Today, we're going to talk about patience. And everybody just shuts down right immediately because you hate it. We hate it. We hate patience. We're not a very patient society. We're not a very patient people. But patience in prayer demonstrates that we are willing to submit to God and we're willing to trust God. The ability to wait patiently is a trait that our Heavenly Father wants to develop in you and me. All of us. He wants to develop patience in you. Good news. Right? And me. And so our relationship with Jesus deepens because we're able to dial down, slow down, become more patient, and maybe even ask him more questions like, ready? What do you want me to learn? What are you wanting to work in me? What are you wanting to work out of me? And if you are willing, if you are courageous to ask those questions to God, hang on. Because he will stop being silent and he'll answer those questions for you. You know, okay? When God appears to be silent when we pray, we need to trust more, not less. Let me ask you a question. Can you trust God when he doesn't respond? Or does your faith waver every time you don't receive an immediate answer to prayer? Does your faith become shaky when you don't receive an immediate answer? Answer to prayer. You see, silence is not a time to quit, but a time to press in and trust God more. When God seems silent, God may be using a spiritually dry time to prepare you for something bigger. Maybe it's a bigger blessing than you even thought of or imagined. Maybe it's a bigger ministry or area of serving that you imagined. Maybe he's going to lead you through a storm. You know, Jesus did that with his disciples. He put them on a boat. He sent them across the lake. He said, "See you later." And a storm came up, and he's nowhere to be found. It was a trust storm. And God might be preparing you and wanting to build more trust in you because there's a trust storm coming. You with me? I know it's not exciting news, but But whatever God is preparing is going to require a greater level of trust. Something that's coming that's beyond your current faith level or your skill set, that you can't figure it out on your own. You don't have the capability or the ability to make this thing happen on your own. You need to trust God that He will give you supernatural ability to get through something or to fulfill something for His purposes. Are you with me? And so when the Lord seems to be silent, it could be that He's teaching you and me to trust Him. To trust Him. Think about Mary and Martha. They expected Jesus to drop everything to come and to heal their brother. I mean, it seems that way, doesn't it? Sent word. Surely He's going to come right away. He's going to come. And He's going to do what He does, right? Can you imagine their anxiety? But not only anxiety, could you imagine their perplexity as they waited and waited? Because He wasn't really that far from Bethany. And they waited. And they watched, and they watched their brother Lazarus get worse and worse and worse until one day he died. Where's Jesus? Right? Why hadn't He come? But Jesus, He Himself said the silence. He Himself said the waiting was a way to prepare His followers for something greater. Instead of healing the illness, what did Jesus say? He was planning to raise His friend, to life. And now that would be a greater level of trust and faith, wouldn't it? Huh? I mean, they didn't have that in them to believe that. Remember what John said, that Jesus said to, He said, so then Jesus told His disciples plainly, hey, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there. That doesn't make no sense to us. Why? So that you may believe. But let us go to Him 2 days later. Get it? And then Jesus said to Martha, says, I'm the resurrection and life. He who believes me will live, even though he dies. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Then what's he ask her? Do you believe this? Trust. Then Jesus looked up and he said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I know that you always hear me, Father. But I said this not for my benefit, but for the benefit of the people that are standing right here, that they may believe you sent me. By waiting, Jesus accomplished the Father's will, and it brought Jesus glory. Not only that, but it created a greater faith and a trust in His followers to believe that if He can raise somebody from the dead, that He can do anything, right? And not only that, but Him waiting convinced many Jews that He was really their Messiah, their Savior. And so God's silence is never random, always purposeful, never indifferent. It's always purposeful. Are you with me? Every time He's quiet, He has a good reason. He has a good reason. And what we need to do is to stay close to God and watch for Him to eventually display His power. And He will in His timing. In His timing. We got to trust more, not less. Trust more, not less. Just turn to somebody and say, trust more, not less. So when we're praying about something and we aren't getting any answers, and when things are really silent, it seems, we need to confront any known sin in our lives. We need to trust more and not less. And when God's voice is unclear, the third thing that we need to do is we need to read the Word. The Scriptures is a good place to tune in when God seems silent. I mean, the Word of God is where His thoughts and His desires and His ways are revealed. Think of it this way. The Bible is simply His voice in written form. You follow me? It's His voice to us in written form. Let me give you an example. When you feel like you've been abandoned by God, which we've all been there, and when you feel as if your prayers are being ignored, let this scripture inform you and not your feelings. Isaiah 49, verse 14 to 16, it says this, "But Zion," which is another word for God's people, "but Zion said, 'The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me.' And God replies, 'Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands, and your walls are ever before me,' God says." Now, listen, there are going to be times when we face trouble that seems to have no end. And we will wonder where God is in the world. And we will wonder why things appear to be out of control. And we will feel like we have been forgotten. But the Scripture reminds us of the truth of God and His attitude toward us. God says, through the prophet Isaiah, He tells you and me that we are unforgettable. Unforgettable to you are. That just came out. I don't know. You're not unforget. You're not unbelievable. That guy's unbelievable. You know, unforgettable. God cannot and will not forget you. He said it in His Word. He wrote it down for you. God cannot and will not forsake you when you have, when you feel like you have been forgotten by God. I want you to envision the hands of Jesus. I like what author Kimberly Clayton says. "Whenever I'm tempted to think God has forgotten me, I need only to go to the cross of Calvary, for there I'm reminded that He engraved me on the palm of His hands when in them He absorbed nails and paid the price for my sin." Some people tie string around their finger. Some people use post-it notes. Some people put reminders on their phones. Some people have a dry erase board on the kitchen refrigerator. But God reminds Himself of His promise not to forget me and you by looking at the nail-scarred hands of His Son who sits right beside Him. God says, "I will not forget you," and takes Jesus' hand and he raises it up and he says, see, look, right here, I won't forget you. I will not forget you. So it's important when our prayers begin to feel empty and distant to stay in God's word. Staying engaged in God's word reminds us that God is always near. And there's so many written reminders in the scriptures that tell us that God is near. Especially when we feel the most neglected, God is near. We've got to read the scripture. Finally, today, when God seems to be silent when we pray, I wonder if it's often the case of just giving up too soon. We're walking faithfully with him, but there's this wall between us and God, it seems, and then we pray a couple of times, and then we think or we say, well, I guess I'll stop praying about that. Obviously, God doesn't care. Check that one off. That won't work. But when it comes to prayer, my guess is that many of us give up way too soon. We just give up. Jesus shares a parable to encourage us to persevere in prayer. I want to share that with you and then we'll close. Luke chapter 18, you might recall this parable that Jesus spoke. He said, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He just goes ahead and tells us why he's going to give it, right? He said, a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about man, and there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me mercy against my adversary. And for some time, the judge refused. But finally, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God and care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And then the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, the answer to that is no. He will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find faith? We know that God is not like the unjust judge. He won't keep turning us away. He will, in his moment, respond to us. What do we do when God is silent? We confront any known sin in our lives. We dial down and we ask him questions like, what do you want me to learn? We lean in and we trust God more, not less. And when God's voice is unclear, we let his word encourage us and we keep on praying. Amen. Let's pray. Prayer is sometimes so difficult, God. There's a lot that we don't understand. There's a lot about you that we don't understand. But in one sense, we're grateful because otherwise, if we had you all figured out, you wouldn't be God. We thank you even for your mysteriousness. That your ways are not our ways and our ways are not your ways. And help us to be okay with that. We need to be okay with that. Put more patience in us and trust and faith. Lead us to do more self-reflection, confront our own sinful hearts. And God, forgive us. For always wanting something that all we want is from your hands. We just want what you have in your hands, and we don't really want you. And forgive us for that, Lord. Transform our prayer lives, God. That it might become more of a conversation with someone that we really love. Our Savior. Amen. Amen. If you have something in your life that you want to pray one more time about, you prayed and prayed and prayed, but you want to pray one more time, I just invite you to come to the front and we can have some of our prayer team pray with you. So if that's you, and you really feel like you need to come and invite somebody to pray with you, don't turn around and walk that way. Come to the front. Okay? Amen. Be blessed. Be blessed.